How many times have you been in a public bathroom and you go to reach for the toilet paper and there's none there? What did you do to get creative at that exact moment?
You have to just wait it out, right? You have to wait to see whether or not anybody else is in the stalls. Now you got to be like doing that awkward thing where you're kind of leaning over to look underneath the stalls. God forbid somebody else is in the next stall and sees your face there.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've established that the room is empty, you got to decide when's the moment you can make a break for the next stall,
yeah.
Right?
But what happens, Raven, if you're not in a public bathroom? You're somewhere else and there is no other options for toilet paper.
Oh.
What do you use? There's a website that approached that, and it made me giggle because one time when I was pledging my sorority, we were on a road trip. So they would do this thing where we would have to travel to all these places in within a 10-hour range, and we would have to do something at each of these places. I won't go into too much detail.
Right, because I'm sure it was all bad.
Uh-huh. And then one time, it was the middle of the night, and we were in a snowstorm, and it was like 6 feet of snow, and we pulled over because we had to go to the bathroom. It was the middle of the night and there was no toilet paper in the car and there was nowhere to go. We were in the middle of nowhere. So we dug like with our hands, like a hole, right? But we couldn't figure out what to do after we all went to the bathroom. So we kind of used the snow as a cleaning mechanism.
Right.
Oddly enough, according to this website, they said if you have a water bottle with you, to use it as a bidet.
Spray it.
Splash yourself to clean yourself. It's so nasty. I mean, so sorry.
Do you have to strip naked to do this? Because there's not a bathroom I can imagine where I'm going to use a water bottle that I happen to be carrying to splash myself on the backside and not, you know, end up with a mess everywhere all over the place.
Here are some other options, according to this website. Use the cardboard roll. It'll be uncomfortable and won't do much, but it's an option. I don't hate that option.
Where do you flush it?
You don't. At that point, you've given up. Like, this is survival mode here.
What else is on there?
Check your pockets for paper, receipts, old gum wrappers.
Oh, thank you, CVS.
Oh, this is my favorite. Use cash. Cash.
No. 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 No.
Uh-huh.
Not unless the world has ended officially.
And here's one that I'm embarrassed to admit with my kids I've had to use before. But it's when you have to sacrifice your wardrobe.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes those socks, they come in real handy and you're never going to see them again. But a sock is worth it in a dire situation.
Listen, give up an undershirt. You've got enough for you and a friend.
What's the worst thing that's ever happened in your yard?
My dog may not smell right for 6 months. Absolutely terrible. So taking the dogs out for the end of the night. I have two dogs. Barkley will typically walk out a little bit calmer. Baxter will run out like a maniac, circle the yard, and just, you know, act like there's something crazy going on out there. He does this every single evening. My wife, Alicia, she's asleep inside on the couch. The second I take Barkley off the leash, I see Baxter start darting across the grass, and I see a slight bit of movement. And then right after that, he goes to bark one time, and I see the flash of white of the tail, and it's a skunk.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I hear poof, poof, and it shoots him right in the face. He starts, like, rolling around. He's dizzy or whatever. Barkley's in the skunk's face. Skunks usually run, Anna. This skunk decided he was going to stand his ground.
He had a fight.
Yeah, this was his Ukraine moment. He mm-hmm. was like, you will go no further.
Mm-hmm.
Shoots Barkley in the face like 6 or 8 times. I'm freaked out, obviously. I have to decide what it is that I'm going to do with the dogs. I go to run to get my wife. And, of course, as soon as I open the door, Baxter darts right in the house. Is what you're not supposed to do is let him in your house. Thank God for Ring camera. They captured it.
Babe. Babe, they got sprayed by a skunk. Oh, my God. Here comes Baxter. Grab him. He needs to go right in the bath right now.
Okay.
Right now. Barkley 2.
Is that your wife throwing up?
Immediately.
Barkley 2.
Immediately dry heaving as soon as I walk the dogs in there. Now, to be fair, Alicia is not great under pressure. Like, you know, the two of us, like, she's more of a panicker. And if my voice is elevated or whatever, that doesn't allow her to be calm.
I mean, you sound psychotic. And then her immediately.
Right. It's total desperation. I mean, this is the end of the night. We're supposed to be going to bed right now. She throws him in the sink. And of course, you know, we got to get into the bathing and all that stuff. But everything that he's touched running into the house, everywhere that I have to go to get towels or whatever, I reek like a skunk too. I had to grab Barkley, carry him in the house. So now everything in my house just absolutely reeks at this point.
So now what are you going to do? Are you like going to cast a war against the skunk?
So listen, we bathed the dogs like five times. I slept downstairs with every window and the door open too, and a knife in my hand. I mean, it is just absolutely terrible on the most humid days of the week too. I called my pest guy at 1 a.m. I was like, listen, whatever has to happen, you have to do it. And he set up five traps and two cameras right now. It's seriously like Zero Dark 30. Like they're going after Osama or something. Like it's high technology.
How long is it going to take for you to catch this?
I have no idea. The plan is for him to capture the skunk and then interrogate and torture the skunk to find out where his mother lives, his brother lives, his father lives, his children lives, and then capture all of them and then relocate them to a nice countryside pasture or something like that.
I guess we'll see what happens. You'll report back.
Yeah, dogs are on the leash until the skunk is located and moved elsewhere.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's that thing that drives you nuts? Here's your chance to get it all off your chest. You can call 1-800-330-9999 and just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Cindy.
Okay, I'm at the gym working out, and I need to go on a machine, and there's someone else on it. So I go to another machine. The person is still on it. I go to another machine. The person is still on that machine. I feel I've given that person reasonable time to work out on it, and they're still there. They're hogging it.
They're hogging it because they know that you're close by looking at it. This is just human nature. Somebody wants what I've got, so I'm going to hold on to it.
And then when they're finally done with it, they don't wipe the machine down.
Now that is a problem. That's a real problem.
That's real nasty. That's a real problem. Now, the worst is when it's like the one machine that you need to target that one body part, like his legs day. You just need to do thighs. And that guy's standing there playing on his phone while he does six reps at 20 pounds for the last half hour. Get out of here.
Exactly.
Your chicken legs.
Wow. Now we're throwing insults.
Hey, Sherry. All I need to know about you. What do you got?
If you blow through a red stop sign when a school bus is stopped, that's all I need to know about you.
Well, I think we can all agree that you shouldn't be blowing through stop signs at any point, but if a school bus is there, even more so, I guess.
Yeah, that's for children's safety, right?
Nathan, all I need to know about you, what you got?
It's kind of a twofold thing. It's the people that drive past you at a high rate of speed, and they either slow down or they put their turn signal on.
They drive past you, and then they move to get in front of you, or...
Yeah, like they just want to get past you so that you can't, they're not behind you.
Right.
Or they turn a turn signal on and turn off right after they passed you.
This happened to me yesterday. It's just so infuriating. Like, you got to go 80 miles per hour to get in front of me to prove that you're like a big boy. And then you do it and then you slow down to 45. Like, well, I don't understand.
Sounds stereotypical.
Exactly.
Was it indeed a big boy?
They like to think they're big boys, but they're not.
They're not big boys.
It was just a car.
No, it was driven by a man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Jonathan, that's all I need to know about you. What's up?
Well, all I got to say is this. If you're walking down the middle of the street like you're a damn vehicle, that's all I need to know about you.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So not just enough for the person that's on the bicycle. If you're just walking in the middle of the street, that's also a no-no.
Yeah, especially since it's, you know, we hit them, it's our fault.
Right. People get so mad about this.
It
if we hit them, it's our fault.
Right. Well, yes, that rule will stay the same.
Yes.
You are correct. But you're right. You should not be walking in the middle of the road,
just
sir.
Move to the side. There's sidewalks.
Alex, that's all I need to know about you. What's up?
If you're rude to restaurant staff without provoke.
You know, this goes for anybody that's in the service industry, I think. Like, I saw somebody when I was on vacation. They were mean to the maid.
Why?
Like, the cleaning service. And, like, the cleaning service is, like, they're literally just there for your service.
I mean, don't you want towels? Like, it's like you're basically saying, never give me a fresh towel.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Don't change my sheets. No.
No.
Just, you know, wipe off the top of them so I think that they're clean.
Yep.
Don't actually wash my cups that are in the room. Just wipe them out with your dust rag. I mean, it looks clean anyways.
All right. What's that thing that drives you nuts? You can get it off your chest by calling 1-800-330-9999. You just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know. About you. It's actually terrifying, but do you have a story about a time that you or your child, like when you were young, got behind the wheel of a car and moved the car? So all over the news, it was talking about Ben Affleck. He was with Jennifer Lopez, and they were looking at exotic cars, and they were at this exotic car lot, and they had Ben's 10-year-old son, Samuel, with him.
Do you think that Ben Affleck and J-Lo ever look at anything that is not exotic? Do you think that, like, they're going to go, and they're going to be like, hey, do you have a white Ford Taurus? That's what I really want, is I'd like a 98 white Ford Taurus. Can we have that?
Watching them car shop like that for some reason struck me as odd. I don't know. Like, I guess when I feel like you're that famous and you're that rich, you're not walking into a car dealership and looking at a $225,000 Lambo. Like, if somebody brings it to your house or something.
I agree.
Right?
No, that makes sense, right? You, like, swipe left or right, and it just shows up there, right? Or you mention it to, like, your chef. Like, after breakfast, I'd like a yellow Lamborghini SUV. Is that okay? Yes, we can do that, Mr. Affleck. We can do that.
But nevertheless, the two of them are with Ben's 10-year-old son, and they're looking at these exotic cars. And the engine is running in this yellow Lamborghini. And all of a sudden, the car goes in reverse and hits the BMW that's parked closely behind it.
Ouch.
Now, it's really like a tap. It's not a big deal. But it hits the car, and it's his 10-year-old son that's driving. Now, of course, there's paparazzi everywhere because it's J-Lo and Ben Affleck. And this is what the paparazzi says, who's filming the whole thing.
Samuel just drive the car.
They acknowledge that Sammy will just drive the car and then just keep taking photos like it's nothing. I'm like, this poor kid is probably traumatized because everybody's watching him and he just hit another car.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they'll probably forgive him. I mean, every kid has hopped in a car, right, and kind of bumped that shifter one time or another. At least in the 80s, every kid had done that.
Well, it's so funny because, like, I would never let my kids at this point sit in the driver's seat of my car. Like, never in a million years. Yeah. I just feel like things like this happen all the time. You just, you know, whatever. But I remember when I was young, my brother, we had lived on top of a cliff. We literally lived on top of a cliff. And it was kind of like a stone
wall. Sounds perilous.
Yeah, that, well, I mean, we had a front yard,
right.
And there was a gate.
You'd step out the front door to the cliff.
Right. Well,
kind of.
It's funny because, like, now as an adult, I look back and I'm like, I'm so surprised my dad bought that house. But
right.
We grew up there. It was fine.
You survived.
Yeah. So it was like a straight stone wall down, and underneath it was kind of like a highway. It was like a 4-lane busy road. And I remember my brother got into my dad's pickup truck, and it was like this raggedy old white pickup truck, and it was stick. Like, so who knows? And he could not have been more than 7 years old. And we were playing out, like shooting hoops and playing in the driveway. And all of a sudden, I remember watching the car slowly go in reverse. And I was like, oh, no. And I just, like, started screaming, and my brother's face of sheer terror. And, you know, if you never believe in God, that pickup truck was reversing right off. Like, it was going to go through the gate and off that cliff. It just, I don't know if the way the wheel was turned or what, it just reversed and went on a 45 degree angle and, like, just went right into a stone wall. And I remember my dad coming outside and being like, oh my God. And,
right.
Joe getting in so much trouble that day. And I was like, that could have been really bad.
I mean, it sounds terrifying.
Right.
Thank God your uncle is a stone worker from Italy, came over, fixed that wall right up.
He patched it right up, no problem. That's a good thing about being Italian. You get somebody that can fix a stone wall in like 30 minutes.
No, would you like a fountain?
Right.
We have a fountain right here.
Does your significant other have a place where they walk in and they can be trapped there for hours, a store? Paul, my husband, is so obsessed with Home Depot. Saturday night, we went out to dinner, and we go out early, and he was like, all right, let's go to Home Depot, because he loves Saturday family fun night at Home Depot. And I'll never understand it, because he can spend hours in Home Depot and, like, wants us all to go as if we're going to the movies.
Well, that's the thing that really baffles me, right? Like, I mean, it's not surprising to me that he has a store that he can go in and get lost, especially when he does some of these projects. And let's face it, I mean, he's not like an engineer. He's not the most mechanically inclined. So I know he's fixing your fence right now, right? So that means, like, certain days you go, and when you go to the hardware store, inherently you forget five things that you have to do. So you have to go back for that. Mm-hmm. What baffles me is that he wants all of you to go.
No, Paul loves Home Depot. And I don't even understand why. Like, I'm not a fan. Like, I think it's, like, overwhelming and smells. And, like, there's nothing about it that I like, to be honest.
No, but, like, I'm with Raven. I don't understand why he wants you guys with him. I totally understand going there just by yourself. You can have a great time.
Well, that's what I said to him. I go, drop me and the girls off at home. You can go do Home Depot Saturday night by yourself. And that's what he did. And I kid you not, I went to bed at 9:45 that night, and he still wasn't home. Hours. So the next morning, I was like, what time did you get home? And he's like, oh, when they closed. And I'm like, what? You can stay till closing? Like, you're at a bar? You waited for last call at Home Depot in aisle 3?
That is odd. It does seem odd to me.
Yeah. But there's some stores that I feel like that you just love, and when you walk in there, it's like... It's like Christmas morning. You could spend hours in there.
Yeah. I mean, if you find me like at a big toy store, I could just spend time in a toy store because I'm just fascinated by the stuff that they have and what they're coming out with at that point. But I love the hardware store. I mean, also a favorite of mine, but any of those outdoor stores too, where like they have an aquarium that's like, you know, huge in the middle of the store.
What?
And they have like, yeah, have you ever been like a Cabela's or a Bass Pro or any okay, one of those or an REI?
Yeah.
Like they have like an aquarium in the middle. It's like a lake.
Yeah. Lauren wrote on our Facebook page that she can get stuck at Target for hours. I agree. I probably can get stuck at Target for hours as well.
They kind of have everything.
Yeah. I mean, I've been stuck at Target against my will for hours. That has happened.
It's
That's happened on numerous occasions.
Where would you stay for hours, producer John?
Oh, any music store at all. If you've got like guitars and drums and stuff like that, I'll just sit around there forever. And I'll be that guy playing all the instruments.
I was going to say, are you that? You got to be that guy that goes in and grabs one and just sits on a random stool in the middle. And they're like, is he being paid to be here? And they're like, no, he's
not. Stairway to Heaven and Sweet Child of Mine.
Nancy wrote on our Facebook page she could spend hours in the Dollar Tree store, like those dollar stores. My daughter Hayden can do it. I walk in and I immediately get anxiety because I just feel like it's junk, you know? And she always says, like, it's only $1. It's only $1. I go, Hayden, when you're making mommy pay $30 for all this junk, it's not just $1 anymore. You just have $30 in junk. That's what we've done.
Right. It's a massive bag full of garbage.
Yeah.
Right? Except the birthday balloons are legit.
You know, I could spend all of my time, all of my day in any kind of like comic book toy store. I could just stare at figures and look at the comics.
Like, look at the artwork on this one.
Like
oh my God.
John Cusack like reinvented here or something. It's
I'm
so
a huge
strange.
Huge nerd.
You give Sean a bunch of Funko Pop those things.
Right. He's happy all day.
Yup.
All right. What's the store that you can spend hours in? You walk in and next thing you know, it's 2 hours later. Let us know on our Facebook page. And if you're not friends with us yet, just search Anna on Raven. If you missed it yesterday, we were talking about your money saving hacks because everything costs so much money. Well, fast forward after the show, we're having a conversation with our boss, Keith, here. And Keith, you have a money saving hack that we thought was so fantastic we had to share.
This is the craziest thing I've ever heard of in my life, but let's let you tell the story.
So when I go to the deli and I buy deli meat, I buy the exact amount of slices I need for the week. So I don't order a half a pound of turkey, I order 8 slices of turkey, so I'm using everything I need.
What does the butcher say when you say, hi, I would like 7 slices of turkey today?
The first time.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be there the first time that conversation comes up.
I think they must do this a lot because they don't bat an eye. I think they're so busy, and there's like one 80-year-old man who works there, and he's like, all right, weirdo. Like, he never says anything. He just cuts them.
And how many slices of turkey do you put on your bread that you only need 8 a week?
Well, I have a sandwich every day for 5 days, so I need 5 slices, and then I have kids. And I figure out if they're going to have sandwiches every day of the week, and we determine that on Sunday before I buy said meat.
But wait a minute. You sit down the kids and ask them how many sandwiches they're going to have that week?
There is an actual discussion. Are you guys going to have turkey sandwiches Monday through Friday? Or on Wednesday, do you want to get, like, Chipotle or something?
Uh-huh.
And they say, yeah, we're going to have 3 sandwiches, so that means 6 more slices.
Why does everybody only get 1 slice of turkey, the saddest sandwich I've ever heard in my entire life?
Cheese. And lettuce. The older one puts a tomato in there.
Oh, wow.
She probably hates vegetables, probably hates tomato, but she puts it in there. So that the sandwich is actually thicker than 1/8 inch.
It's a money saver. I'm telling you, if you buy Boar's Head meats, they're not cheap.
No,
they're not.
They are expensive.
So like a pound of Boar's Head smoked turkey is like $13. So instead, I get it for like 7.
Mm-hmm.
Follow-up question here. Mm-hmm. What is he setting the slice on for thickness? Because mine shreds. My wife always wants it thin. So if it's a good thick slice, if we're talking ham steak thickness.
No, I make them show me. I say, slice one, let's see it, show it.
Uh-huh.
And he shows it. It's got to be a full length. It's got to look almost like a paper bag.
So it's not falling apart.
Right. It needs to be like long and thin.
I just want to imagine that you're working at the deli counter and here comes this loud, crazy person
right.
and says, I like seven slices of turkey. Right. And then he has to hold it up to show the correct oval and that it's in fully intact.
Yeah. Right. That's what we're looking for.
And then they toss it into his mouth like he's a sea lion.
And I've saved $5 a week.
Right.
So every week, do the math. I save $250.
There you go. That's your money saving hack right there. Only bougie people have stylists, right?
Maybe.
No, they don't. So this is my stylist, Lauren Perez. She's from Lorene Group. You can find them online at marinegroup.com.
Well, let's just breach the subject. First things first. Why did you get a stylist?
So truthfully, I don't know how to dress myself correctly. Like, I would go to events, right, Lauren? And, like, I would not know what to wear. And I would always wear the exact same thing. So a friend of mine said, you have to meet Lauren. She's not going to make you wear things you don't want to wear. She's really easygoing, and she's going to work with you. And now I turn to you for everything. Like, little things you've taught me along the way have changed me for the better. Great. Yeah.
How did you get into this, Lauren? How did you end up being somebody that styles people with what they wear and what they purchase and how they put themselves together?
I have been in the business for over 25 years. I was a buyer for a local group and did a lot of traveling and always worked very closely with clients and built, you know, a small group of clients that I worked with directly. Mm. Just help them build a wardrobe that, you know, made sense for them.
You know, to be fair, listen, as a guy, I know that it's daunting. I mean, I see my wife get dressed and what she goes through. It makes me feel terrible that this is what, you know, magazine, society, all that stuff has done to us. Guys, we do the same thing to a lesser degree, but we don't feel great all the time. For Anna, she's been feeling better. She's been dressing better. I think she's walking into rooms feeling more ready for what she's there to do.
There are some certain things that you think belong in every single closet. I mean, now I have them, so I feel better about it.
You can bring it up without crying when she tells you now.
So let's go through them.
My business partner, Aaron Herman, and I, we believe in like low-key kind of staples, you know, whether it's having a great white t-shirt, a great white blouse, a nice black blazer, a good leather jacket, a pretty sandal with a heel along with a flat. We are always about the high-low. We want you to invest in your wardrobe, but not everything has to be thousands of dollars, hundreds of dollars. There's a way to infuse some of these other kinds of pieces and help them look elevated.
The black blazer, the white oversized shirt. What are your favorite jean brands?
I am a Levi's girl, like from when I was a kid, but I like Redone, Mother Denim. You are Mother Denim.
Yeah.
I just like a jean that looks good on me.
Now, Raven has some questionable clothing things that he wears, and he thought he would run it by you to see if you would give him his approval.
Pants and shorts made out of athletic or dry wick material. Is that okay?
I mean, if you're going to the gym or hanging
Raven's
out at
not
home
going to the gym.
On the weekend,
no.
There's no gym in your... No, athletic shorts.
No, I'm going to the work. Skinny jeans, long shorts, or oversized t-shirts for guys.
I like a nice, a silhouette that like skims the body, not oversized.
Mm.
Skinny jeans, I think we can move to straight.
Socks with slides, tall socks, hats with tags. This is for my kid. He comes over and he's wearing slides and he's got socks up to his knees. Like, what's he doing there?
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it is kind of a thing for, you know.
I like that you think your son that you think is so out of fashion is the only one that actually is on trend.
It's kind of a thing. My son does it, too. But he has just played sports, so it's like a post-sports thing. Or
yeah, no, he's doing it like right after he's done something. My kid's just finished a landscaping job, so it's a little different.
I think for the average adult, I would say no socks with slides.
You want to figure out how to dress yourself, too? You could head to their website, lorenegroup.com.
Here it comes. It's the Craigslist Price is Right.
Hey, Bernie, today we're playing Craigslist Price is Right Summer Edition for a $100 gas card. I mean, that'll come in handy, right? It's real easy to play. Anna is going to describe an item that's for sale right now on Craigslist. I'm going to take a guess at the price. All you have to do is correctly identify whether or not my guess is higher, lower, or equal to the listed price. Okay, do that, and the gas card is yours.
You got it.
All right. What do you got today, Anna?
All right, Bernie, get ready for this, because if you've ever wanted an Uncle Sam teddy bear inflatable, I got you right now.
Woo! Oh, man. Who hasn't wanted one of those?
Titled Uncle Sam number 13. Okay. This teddy bear, dressed as Uncle Sam, is 8 feet tall and is in excellent condition. It was bought several years ago. That's when they made better quality blow-ups. Used for about 4 hours at a 4th of July party and then stored away. It is in excellent condition. Do not contact me with unsolicited services or offers.
Okay, let me see the photos. You know, I need to see the photos.
Yes.
An inflatable teddy bear.
Look, he's wearing a red, white, and blue flag, tuxedo, and top hat.
Well, he is large.
Yeah.
Huh? Okay.
Yeah. You thought inflatables were just for Christmas time. No. Nope. Yeah. Nope.
No. Of course, clearly here for the 4th of July. I mean, limited people. But if you get this item, I mean, you're going to be the talk of the neighborhood, all right? People will know. They'll be like, oh, that's the house with the teddy bear there that loves America.
That's 8 feet tall.
Oh, man. I have one of these Santas. Difficult to keep upright because the wind blows and it becomes a problem.
Yes, but Raven, was yours built years ago, like this one, when they built the blow-up inflatables better, according to the person that wrote this post?
I mean, I don't know. It's older, I guess. I don't know. Okay. I'm going to take a shot here, though. Here's the thing. It's just taking up space in their garage. I'm going to go $50. $50 on the inflatable teddy bear.
All right, Bernie, do you think the actual retail price of the inflatable 4th of July teddy bear is higher than 50, lower than 50, or is that the actual price?
You know, I'm sorry to disagree, Raven, but I mean, she built this up. It's definitely over. She wants $450 for this.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bernie.
Oh.
Actual retail price, $40.
$40. She wanted this thing gone. I'm sorry, Bernie. You got to trust me next time. She wanted it gone.
I might buy it. Is that weird? I kind of want it.
Anna's going to buy it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Bernie.
$40, that's the deal.
Yeah. All right, I'm sorry, Bernie. We're going to have to take the next caller at 1-800-330-9999, and we'll hook you up with this $100 gas card.
He can still appreciate the bargain. That's nice of you, Bernie.
If you were going to open a restaurant, what kind of food would you serve? They came out with this list of the best theme restaurants in every state. It's up on our Facebook page right now at Anna and Raven if you want to see the full list.
This is like a chain thing or is
not
this like,
just no. like a unique restaurant that may serve something really unique or the food is really unique. And I'm looking over the list and the ones that stuck out to me is like Alabama. It's a place called Rattlesnake Saloon. They have a sandwich called the Gigantor. It's 2 pounds of meat, a pound of onion rings, a pound of fries, and if you can eat it by yourself in under 45 minutes, it's free.
These places where they do this thing where they time you, where you have to like, I mean, there was a place I remember before that had like a 72-ounce porterhouse.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that would kill me, but I would die happy.
And you would do it.
Trying.
Yeah, I mean,
yes.
He's tried 7 times this past week to do that. Arkansas, they have the Purple Cow restaurant. They serve food that's purple. Purple milkshakes, purple ice cream, just things that are purple.
All right.
Yeah. But then the one that I was like, wait a minute, New Jersey, medieval times, where you got to eat with your hands.
Oh, I like that. I mean, but like, it's like old, like school, like there's going to be a knight or something like that. When they bring you the butter, it will probably have some gravel in it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's garlic bread, tomato bisque soup, and roasted chicken. If you've ever eaten the food there, it's not fantastic.
Well, you know, I mean, either way, you're going for the ambiance, right? Are they going to have jousting or something?
Well, there's always jousting at medieval times. So we asked a bunch of kids, if you were going to open your own restaurant, what would you serve? Producer John hit the road.
If you had a restaurant, what would you serve?
Mashed potatoes.
It's a good staple.
I mean, I've never been to a mashed potato restaurant, and I'm very intrigued by that.
Have you ever had somebody be like, no, I won't have any mashed potatoes. Get those mashed potatoes out of here. People don't have strong feelings against mashed potatoes. They have strong feelings for mashed potatoes.
If you had a restaurant, what kind of food would you serve?
Kielbasa and mashed potatoes.
There is a big market for a mashed potato chain restaurant.
What'd I tell you? I've been to parties before where they had a mashed potato bar. Have you ever seen that?
No.
And they serve the mashed potatoes in like martini glasses, and then you put whatever you want around there. It's very fancy, pinky out, but it's still mashed potatoes.
And if you had a restaurant, what kind of food would you serve?
It would be called Cat Cafe, and I'd serve breakfast.
I was so happy when she said breakfast because the way she paused, I'm like, wait, what are we serving at Cat Cafe?
Right. Let's be careful.
Right.
If you had a restaurant, what kind of food would you serve?
Burgers, fries, like McDonald's stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you know, It's Americana right there.
Every kid out there, he's just like, can I get some McDonald's?
Kid? Kidding me? I wanted McDonald's last night. Not just kids.
If you had a restaurant, what kind of food would you serve?
Chicken nuggets.
What kind of sauce?
Tartar sauce.
What?
Wait a minute.
What?
Tartar sauce with your chicken nuggets?
What kind of world is that?
Now I know why the drive-thru line shuts down randomly in front of me every once in a while. Because there's a kid up there asking for some craziness like that.
But it's true, though. Like, I love tartar sauce, but sometimes I'm not in the mood for fish sticks. But why can't I have my chicken nuggies with some tartar sauce? I'm going to her restaurant.
Okay.
And if you had a restaurant, what kind of food would you serve?
Sushi.
I don't know if I trust a 7-year-old to make my sushi, to be honest with you, right?
99 bottles of beer on the wall, 99 bottles of beer, right? One of those bottles should have to fall. There'll be 98 bottles of beer on the wall, 98 bottles of beer on the wall.
All right, that's enough of that. Thank you.
If one of those bottles should happen to fall, what happens, Raven? Now it's only going to be 97 bottles of beer on the wall.
We just go to the next one.
Yeah.
We do that and over.
Yep.
That's actually my least favorite of driving songs.
Mm-hmm. If you're one of the 42 million people that plan on hitting the road for this 4th of July, man, got to tell you, I've been doing some research because I'm going to be taking a 13-hour ride myself. And there has not been a whole lot of innovation in annoying car ride sing-along music in a long time.
That's true. Maybe it's time for a little bit of an improvement there. I mean, we have added entertainment into the vehicle experience, obviously. Now there's DVDs and, you know, you can bring your tablet or your laptop or whatever. But those are, you know, solitary events. It's not something you're sharing.
There's nothing better than when your kids just start singing the most annoying song over and over and then you join in with them just because it's fun that way.
I know a song that gets on everybody's nerves. Everybody's nerves, yes, on everybody's nerves.
Hey, your husband is just there ready to drill a hole through his head.
Just drive the car right off the road, but I'm not going to stop singing because that's what long car rides are all about, right? Or this is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
One, right? I love this one.
This is the song that doesn't end.
Guess what? It never ends.
Yes, it goes on and on, my friend.
It never ends.
Some people started singing.
I got to tell you, I've never heard that one before, if you can believe that.
Wait a minute. They started singing it. They didn't know how it worked. And then I have to sing it forever.
Oh,
because
man.
That's how it goes. It's a song that never ends.
I guess.
Right. But there's other ones, too, like this.
Do your ears hang low? Do they wobble to and fro? Can you tie them in a knot? Can you tie them in a bow? Can you throw them on your shoulder like honey?
I don't want to get too graphic, but there was a time when we changed the word from the ears hang low to something else, and it was quite inappropriate.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
You had a great time in college.
I mean, it was, right, because it's obnoxious on these long car rides.
Right.
But then there's the 4th of July anthem that everybody loves to sing, and I don't think anyone actually knows all the real words.
Yankee Doodle came to town a riding on a pony, stuck a feather in his cap and called it macaroni.
Which is a strange thing to do, but...
But how come we didn't...
We all know it.
Stuck a feather in his hat and called it macaroni?
Yeah.
Yankee Doodle, keep it up, Yankee Doodle, dandy. Find the music and the step and with the girls be handy.
What are they talking about with the girls be handy?
I don't think it's appropriate for nowadays.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It sounds like it's a little bit forward of you.
Okay.
All right. A little assumptive.
So you're probably wondering, how are we going to make this a car ride that you're going on for 4th of July better? Well, great news. Producer John has created a new annoying car ride sing-along song. You ready for it?
He promises to be less handsy than Yankee Doodle.
We're driving in the car. We're going real far. Well, happy 4th of July, we're driving to the party in the car. Well, Anna and Raven want to party with you, but first we got a little bit of driving to do. Anna throws a party at her new beach place, and Raven had a firework blow up in his face. We're in the car,
hey.
car, we're going real far. Well, happy 4th of July, we're driving to the party in the car. Yeah!
It's perfect!
He sounds like an overeager kid that wants to date your daughter. That's what he sounds like.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Ben and Miranda. Miranda, let's start with you. What's going on?
We've got a wonderful family, but we have an older son. You know, he's an adult. He's 24 years old already. And I would say he's a great kid, but maybe not the most financially stable. We help him out with his finances, like his apartment and, you know, food and other bills and things like that. He wants a brand new Bronco all of a sudden, and he wants us to help pay the down payment. And I don't really understand why, because we're already helping pay for his apartment, so he can't exactly afford a new car right now. I'd rather him just, you know, take mine, and I would get a new lease or a new car for myself, because I am financially stable. It's a little bit frustrating that he wants something brand new when he can't, you know, support himself yet.
Did you offer him a free car? You offer him your car?
But it's not a new Bronco.
Like, hey, you want my car? I'd be like, yes, Mom.
I would prefer he didn't have a new car at this point.
Right.
I mean, those Broncos are hot, though.
I mean, they are.
They are nice.
You have to sign up to get one. Like, you have to put the deposit. I mean, it's exactly what you're talking about, the deposit.
Ben, what's the deal? You're totally fine with this?
Well, I think he can afford it. I trust him. I think it's important to trust your kids and show them that you have their back. He went to school. He's just starting out his career. He's going to make money. He's, I think this is an investment in him.
Yeah, you know, this is the thing. Like, you want to help your kid out. When you see your kid doing good, hope gets so, right? It grows, Anna, right? You see your kid doing good at something, and you're like, oh, this is great. They're going to do great. Everything's going to be awesome. We got it all figured out now at this point, right? You don't really account for the fact that there's setbacks in life. There's going to be other setbacks, and, you know, who knows if he's going to like that job in 6 months? Who knows if he's going to do better there? Who knows what the economy will do? I mean, in current times, too, all that is a concern. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, you can't plan for it, but why assume the worst? Because, you know, the best could happen. There are positive things you didn't even foresee could happen.
But wouldn't it be better for him to have a sense of ownership when he can afford it himself?
Yeah, but also, this is something he wants. I can tell that he wants.
You don't always get what
you want. Saying, well, I'll give him my car, and we can get us a new car. Get you, I mean, but you don't really. You're happy with your car. It's all just theoretical that you're. Well, we'll teach him some lesson or something. I mean, he wants it. We can afford it. I don't know. You got to live a little.
All right. Let's see what our audience says, because they may agree with you, Ben. He's a good kid. He's starting out. He's on the right path. And, you know, give him a hand. That's what parents sometimes do, especially if they're in a position where they can do that. But they may see Miranda's side, too, that
inevitably, you're going to end up paying for it yourself.
Exactly. And you're just basically buying a Bronco for your son.
Right,
you're not
that you hadn't
lending him
on.
Anything. You're just buying him a Bronco.
That'll be fun the first 30 days you have it, but then after when you're making the payments, huh? 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Ann and Raven.
Ben and Miranda's 24-year-old son have asked for help with the deposit and to co-sign on a new Bronco that he wants to put his name on the wait list for.
Listen, it's exciting. It's a really nice-looking truck. I get it. Sometimes you want something, you feel like you deserve it, but you don't have the means yet at this point.
Right.
Dad says, no big deal. We can help out.
Yeah, he says they have the money. Like, it's no big deal. He just graduated college. He's on a good career path. He's starting to get more responsibility. The money will come. But Mom says, yeah, we're already helping him with his rent. Now we're going to co-sign a car?
Right. She thinks it's a stretch too far. We're just going to end up paying for this entire car.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
I am on the wife's side. Hell no. Do not pay for his Bronco that he can't pay for his apartment and bills. They're also going to pay for the car as well. They are so silly. They got to teach him some responsibility here.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. I mean, those Broncos are hot.
Super hot.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the bigger one, but I've seen a couple sports that were done up.
The sports look good.
When they're not done up, yeah. I need a little something extra on there to tell you the truth, but they are hot.
Yeah. So Ben and Miranda's 24-year-old son wants one, and, you know, he's graduated college, he's doing well at his job, and they need, he has asked them to co-sign and help with the deposit to be able to secure one.
Mm.
Now, Ben says, you know, he works hard. He graduated college. He's a smart kid. He's on a career path that looks promising. I don't see why we can't help him out, but Miranda disagrees.
Mom points out the fact that, first off, we're already helping supplement his rent. And I'm sure that they're probably helping pay for college, too, now that he's out at this point. She didn't mention that. But, I mean, even if you're on a career path, it's a long time between when you're told you'll be making more money down the road to when you actually start making that money. She says, we're just going to end up paying for this car.
Would you co-sign? Would you give that deposit? If financially you were in the position, you could do it. 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
I'm on the wife side. I mean, my parents had the money. My dad insisted on letting me get a used clunker when I got my first car. But I mean, you know, if he's just enabling his son. That's all he's doing. You want something here, have it. They're already paying for his apartment. What more should they be doing?
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. I had a similar experience with my own son, who asked me to co-sign for a loan for a car for him. I did not co-sign because I didn't want to own a car, but I did lend him money to use towards the down payment. And the agreement was that he would pay me $150 a month towards the loan. And he wrote me out checks for the loan every, you know, for each month ahead of time. I deposited the first check and it bounced.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, so... I tell this story all the time, and the thing is that had he paid me back all that money on time,
yeah,
I would have just turned around and given it back to him.
Yes.
Because the credibility of being able to do that.
I think that what he was trying to do was bluff you. He thought you were never going to cash them.
Well,
that's
I
what
mean,
happened.
Kids are kids, right? They plan for the best, but it doesn't work out all the time.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, completely on the wife's side, because financial stability is a big thing, especially car payments for a young kid who's up and coming. It's not feasible at all. Like in 5 years, 5 to 6 years, like who knows what could happen. So to have a brand new car, especially at this age and career growth, that's not feasible. And even though you have the means, it's one thing to have the means versus, you know, someone growing up and coming up and being financially secure.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Miranda, our audience agreed with you today. There's only so far that you can go to help your child. Obviously, you want to do everything in your power, but what you're doing is setting them up for failure because you know that he's going to have such a hard time to, you know, making the payments.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm honestly really glad that people support this. I didn't think it would be appropriate just to gift him something, really. It's kids don't always get what they want. You know, I'd rather him learn some ownership and learn how to earn something himself.
Ben, it's a tough news to break to him, but at the same time, like, you know, kids can be fickle, right? So he'll be on to the next thing after. Hopefully he'll be focused on something else soon. And if not, he can obviously start raising the cash for that vehicle. But without having a great job at this point right now, it's probably a little bit more to bite off than he can chew.
Yeah, and hearing the calls got me thinking that I kind of am looking forward to getting a new car for myself.
Right. I mean, if you like the idea that much, get one for you guys.
All right, if you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Can't beat Raven jackpot, thanks to Discover Card, is $600. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. All right, Justine, you ready to play?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Please leave the room, Raven.
Sure, good luck, Justine.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, Raven's walking out of here. We have a jackpot of $600. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. He can't hear us right now. We're in a soundproof studio. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He comes back in, gets the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yep.
Number one, NFL player Rob Gronkowski has once again announced his retirement. Gronkowski most recently played for what team?
LA Raiders.
Number two, Mindy Kaling says Legally Blonde 3 writers are having a hard time figuring out what the new 2022 version of the Bend and Snap will be. In Legally Blonde, what university did Elle Woods attend to earn her law degree?
Harvard.
Number three, Post Malone debuted a new giant skull face tattoo. Post Malone is an endorser for what beer company?
I don't know.
Number four, the United Nations named Jason Momoa as their advocate for life below water. He plays what superhero in the DC universe?
Aquaman.
And number five, Carson Daly says that he and his wife got a sleep divorce that saved their marriage. They sleep in separate beds. Carson got his start on TV as a VJ on what MTV show?
I don't know that one either.
All right. That's all right, Justine. Let me bring Raven back in.
Okay.
He's not even looking at me. Here he is.
Yeah. Okay.
Justine got 2 out of 5.
Not too great, Justine. $600. Let's see how I do. Maybe they're tricky.
Number one, NFL player Rob Gronkowski has once again announced his retirement. He most recently played for what team?
Tampa Bay, the Bucks.
Yes. Number two, Mindy Kaling says that the Legally Blonde 3 writers are having a hard time figuring out what the new 2022 version of the Bend and Snap will be. In Legally Blonde, what university did Elle Woods attend to earn her law degree?
She went to Harvard.
That's right. Do you know what the Bend and Snap is?
I can't do it.
You gotta bend,
yeah, okay,
and snap.
Okay.
See?
I mean, I remember something.
Okay. Number three, Post Malone debuted a new giant skull face tattoo.
Okay.
Post Malone is an endorser for what beer company?
Bud Light.
Yes. Number four, the United Nations named Jason Momoa as their advocate for life below water. He plays what superhero in the DC universe?
He's Aquaman.
Yes. Number five, Carson Daly says that he and his wife got a sleep divorce and it saved his marriage. They sleep in separate beds.
I heard that.
Carson got his start on TV as a VJ on what MTV show?
He was on TRL.
Yes, Total Request Live. I'm sorry, Justine, he beat you 5-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
It's okay. That's fine. It's Justine and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $700 tomorrow.